picks up LeBron James, five to shoot. McGee pokes it away. James up and under, throws it off the backboard. Oh, what a perfect pass to himself.
Yeah, NBA Strayer, how you going? That's right, man, it's NBA Strayer. It's Thursday, June 7. I'm your host, James Clements. I'm a writer for Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull, The Brooklyn Game, and whoever else wants to pay me money. And I'm here hanging out in Larry Armour Studios, New York City, New York, making sure you know who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it, and who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball in the NBA today, just while repping Strayer a little bit. And we've got double Australia today because on today's show we have a very special guest to help wrap Game 3 of the NBA Finals. It is the one, the only, Lee Ellis from the Starters. That's right, man. We've got Lee Ellis on today's show. He calls in to chat Game 3, LeBron, the Sixers mess. And that's only part one. We're actually going to have part two on tomorrow's show as well where we talk about the Starters, his career, Australian basketball, a whole bunch of other stuff. But also on today's show, we have the usual dumbassery like, yeah, nah, Spud of the Night, the unpopular opinion of the day, and Outback Takehouse. And because it's Thursday, we play Where in the World is Jonah Bolden and check up on the Diary of Stephen Adams. It is awesome. It's episode 136. It's NBA Australia. Let's go.
Oi, oi, oi. It's our mate Dally over here. That's right, Manny Dellavedova. Joy, I reckon the old Cavs could use me in the playoffs, eh? Anyway, you're listening to NBA Strayer.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
Oh, you better, because it's NBA Strayer, and we start every day with the daily whip around, and the Sixers' long nightmare appears to be over, as Adrian Wojnarowski has just reported that the Sixers and GM Brian Colangelo are going to part ways, with Colangelo resigning, not being fired, resigning, after the law firm tasked with getting to the bottom of the Sixers Twitter saga discovered that it was his wife, Barbara Bettini. Apparently, forensic evidence pointed towards this. She was the one behind it. And there you go. Brian Colangelo, it's all done-ski. It's all over. And Brett Brown, coach Brett Brown, is now in charge of basketball operations for the moment. Very similar, weirdly enough, to how Mike Budenholzer took over in Atlanta after Danny Ferry was let go. And yeah, there you go. That just broke then. So that's fascinating stuff. We'll talk about that a little bit with Lee Ellis, and we'll talk about that a little bit later in Yeah Nah as well. So there you go. To recap, Brian Colangelo out in Philly. And a lot of that of not being fired is because Jerry Colangelo reportedly, according to the Philly Voice, was going to burn their relationships down to the ground if they fired his son. On your Jerry, stand up for your son, mate. That's pretty good. All right, so we also usually wrap the games in the daily whip around. So game three last night, Warriors 110 at Cavs 102. Let's actually just wrap that with the Australian starter himself, the international man of mystery, Lee Ellis. Let's go to my chat, the first half of my chat with him. Now we'll play the second half tomorrow, but this is a really good one. So enjoy. All right, here we are. As promised, we have a very special guest, as J.E. Skeets would call him. He is international man of mystery, but he's on NBA Australia, so he's not an international man of mystery. He's just a man of mystery. We can call him Lee, because it's Lee Ellis. How are you, Lee?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Crushing it. Wish I was a little less hungover today after game three, but you know, you get that on the big jobs. What did you think of game three last night, right? Like, the Cavs are toast now, aren't they?
Pretty much, yeah. It had a very similar feel, actually, to game three of last year. I felt that the Cavs were kind of in control, and you felt that they were probably just going to do enough to get this win. But then, you know, when it got tight down the end there, the Warriors just pulled away. Kevin Durant, I mean, that deja vu feeling of hitting that long three right at the end, which basically sealed it for the Warriors, was just incredible that he was able to do it again. And I mean, I like the way the Cavs fought. Obviously, Rodney Hood coming into the lineup was pretty good. It worked out well for them. The Cavs had their opportunities, just couldn't secure a couple of rebounds there at the end. And, you know, it's a pretty deflating feeling if you're a Cavs fan. And I think you could see it in LeBron's face at the end of the game. He just looked around and thought, man, I just can't do anything. Because if you look at it, really, game one and game three were there to be won by Cleveland, and they couldn't get either of those. And now they face the impossible 3-0 deficit. And obviously, theoretically they could come back, but I think we all know right now it's just a matter of whether or not the Warriors win it in four on Friday night, or if they have to go home and win it on their home court on Monday in five. But it's very, very tough to see Cleveland getting anything more than a consolation win out of this.
Yeah. Deflating is the right word. Like, even the pub last night was like, oh, man, come on. Like, can we just get, like, one Cavs thing? Can we get, like, a series happening? And it was really brutal watching everybody sort of go, this is done.
The disappointing thing is we all just wanted to have a good series, a close series, and hopefully a series that went six or seven games. But that looks very unlikely right now.
Yeah. Do you think Kevin Durant won the finals MVP with that game last night? Or with that, well, almost basically with that shot, right? Like, they're up 103-100. He nails that three.
Yeah.
Basically the same. Steph Curry goes 3 of 16, 1 of 10 from 3. He may have cost himself the finals MVP. Do you reckon KD's got it in the bag now?
Yeah, well, he's certainly the front runner. Yeah, because it's funny, Skeets and I kind of had a bit of a disagreement about this on our show this week, and I said that Steph was pretty much locked into MVP unless Kevin Durant went for 40 and Steph had a stinker. So that's pretty much exactly what happened. So I think now, unless those roles get reversed in game four where Steph goes for 40 and KD has a stinker, then it's pretty much Durant's here to lose. But he was incredible last night. Like, he, because Steph was off and even Clay wasn't all that good last night. No one else sort of seemed to have it really going for the Warriors, but it didn't matter because Durant just scored just consistently and just did everything that we know he can do, and he just hasn't had to do it as much in Golden State. But fantastic performance, great shooting, great offense. The Cavs just had no answer for him, and now KD is one win away from two championships and two finals MVPs.
Yeah, he can match up the MVPs in the finals with how many burner accounts he's probably still got. It actually kind of did feel almost unfair at points last night, right? It's like, oh man, the Warriors, they're having a bad night. Oh, it doesn't matter. They've still got Kevin Durant out there smashing it. It was bananas.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I mean, if you look at the way that the Cavaliers played, I mean, LeBron was, typically brilliant. Kevin Love was pretty good. And as I mentioned, Rodney Hood actually was pretty decent for them, but that was it really. I just really noticed a couple of times they fumbled the ball when they had the second chance opportunity. And anytime you do that against the Warriors and they can get out and transition and run, it feels like almost every time they score. And those are just so deflating for the Cavaliers because they have opportunities. They got their moments where it was like, score here, put a bit of pressure on the Warriors, but they weren't able to do that. And instead, when it came down to that moment, the game-winning time, Durant steps up for the Warriors and for the Cavs. There was just nobody there who was able to do that. And again, LeBron, he's trying to get guys going. He's trying to find these guys who can knock down shots, but they weren't able to do that last night. And guys like Jeff Green, who he's got all the sort of talent and athleticism in the world, but you just wonder why he's out on the floor sometimes, because he just doesn't have that aggressiveness that he needs to go out there and score and take the weight off LeBron. I mean, they're really missing Kyrie Irving so badly right now. Yep. We knew that they would probably miss him this season. No one really expected Isaiah Thomas to be as bad as he was while he was there. But at least Isaiah showed in Boston last year he could go out and get a basket by himself. And that's what Kyrie did so well while he was there in Cleveland, that he could take the initiative on offense and go and score, whether it's getting a three-pointer or driving inside or just creating for himself. But there's just nobody who can do that for the Cavs. So the whole weight of the offense falls on LeBron's shoulders. And, if he's making passes and guys still can't knock down shots, then there's really not much else he can do.
Yeah. I mean, I was actually just about to mention this. Like, do you even feel like this is a waste of a LeBron year? Because, like, as soon as they traded Kyrie, it kind of felt like, I don't know if they've got enough to win the title this year. Even though he's out there averaging basically a triple-double in the NBA Finals, it still doesn't quite feel like enough. And you're like, oh, man, just imagine if he had actually a like half-decent supporting cast here. We might be, be able to talk that MJ-LeBron debate a little bit longer. But at the moment, it just sort of feels like a bit of a downer.
Yeah, I think, LeBron said basically that he wishes they didn't trade Kyrie because they didn't have to trade him. Kyrie said he wanted out, and so they decided to cash in while they still could. But I think LeBron feels a little bit annoyed at the franchise that they weren't able to at least try to persuade him to stay. Instead, it seemed like Kyrie went in there and said, trade me. And they said, okay, we'll trade you. And so, if you look at how the San Antonio Spurs handled things with LaMarcus Aldridge last year, the relationship was fractured. But instead, Popovich went and spoke to him, and they sat down and hashed it out. And LaMarcus Aldridge was an all-star this year. That just shows you how the two different franchises handle things. And now, it's not to say that Kyrie may have been able to be talked around to stay in Cleveland. But you certainly feel that for LeBron, it's like he was there. He was his second best player, and he knows how important and how valuable he was to LeBron. And now that he's not there, and obviously the Isaiah thing, as I said, didn't work out. Instead, they got George Hill. And George Hill, he's another guy. I mean, you look at him sometimes, you think, man, this guy's a really solid two-way player. You know, can initiate offense, can hit the three-pointer, and is a very good defender. But then last night, you just look at the box score, you look at his way, the way he played, he's very passive, and he doesn't provide that same offensive spark that Kyrie provided. And I think LeBron is probably just looking around the locker room right now and feeling like he's going 1.5 on 5. We'll give Kevin Love that half because he's actually been pretty good in this series.
Yep. Reckless speculation, where do you think LeBron is next year?
So hard to say because I don't think he's definitely gone from Cleveland. I think what he's going to wait for, like he does often, is to see what other moves they're able to make before he commits to anywhere.
Yep.
I think the relationship with the owner, Dan Gilbert, there isn't great. But the fact that LeBron returned to Cleveland in the first place after Dan Gilbert wrote that letter tells me that he probably does still want to play for Cleveland, but they need to get some reinforcements, particularly in the guard spot and just a deeper bench and some better players there. So how the Cavs go about doing that, I'm not sure. They don't have tons of cap room and they don't have tons of tradable assets that it would be able to be turned into anything tangible. The other options, of course, you know, that everyone's speculating that LeBron wants to go to LA and play with the Lakers, but I don't think the Lakers are ready to compete for a championship. So I don't think that that is what LeBron wants at this stage of his career. He wants to go to a team that is ready to play for a championship. So the only team I think that is on the cusp of that is the Houston Rockets, if they were to get Chris Paul back. Because you saw how good the Rockets were against the Warriors this year. I mean, Chris Paul doesn't pop his hamstring. The Rockets probably win that series.
Yeah.
So that's an option, but that would just feel weird as well if he went to the Rockets. I just, because then they might not even get past the Warriors and even get to the finals. So it's very hard to know exactly what he's thinking. I don't think he's decided where he's going. Philadelphia is obviously an option as well there. His agent, Rich Paul, represents Ben Simmons. And I think that you saw the season the Sixers had was really, really good this year. But I think LeBron is probably going to wait and do it to see sort of how things just shake down after this season and then make a decision from there. But I think wherever he goes, he wants to feel that he can get straight back to the finals and compete and have a chance to knock off the Warriors because there's certainly nothing to suggest the Warriors won't be back there out in the West.
Yeah, for sure. That's crazy. It's like it just feels such like a momentous kind of off season this year, and it's really, 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 really fun. It's like, you know, the second season basically starts when we have the draft on June 21. You're like, all right, man, like, cool. We've got like another NBA season basically ahead, which is awesome. And look, I know you probably can't speculate on Sixers stuff, but like, do you really think like dragging out this process of like investigating the Colangelo situation? You mentioned the Sixers for LeBron, and like, this idea of like the public perception now of the Sixers is taking a massive beating. And we all know that Sam Hinkie was basically kind of demoted because of the public perception of him. And he, meanwhile, we are a week into this Colangelo or his wife or whoever tweeting out confidential info about players and still nothing has happened. Do you reckon the Sixers are taking a bit of a beating there?
Oh, for sure they are. I mean, they've handled this badly because even if it is Colangelo's wife, I mean, she's speaking having gotten the information from him. And, I mean, that's obviously pretty hard for Brian probably to swallow that his wife's been out there tweeting all this stuff. But I just don't see how this reflects well on the franchise if they keep him because he was obviously saying things. And, look, I'm not sure if you're married, but I'm married. You know, we all have our things that we say to our wives that you basically say in confidence knowing that they aren't going to say those to anybody else.
Because that's
human nature. You know, that's how we vent to our closest confidant, you know. So if Colangelo's doing what every other husband does with their wife as far as, you know, venting, which is fair and reasonable, but if then she goes online and starts basically regurgitating that, it just is a bad look for him and it's a bad look for the franchise. And I just don't know how, if the Sixers meet with free agents going forward, how they wouldn't feel some sort of distrust with Colangelo because he was, or his wife was saying things about the franchise player in Joel Embiid. And that just to me is, that's the hardest part of it. It's like, you know, he was saying things about, you know, Embiid. He was talking about Jahlil Okafor, how, you know, they wanted to trade him and how he couldn't pass his physical and things like that. So it's the Sixers, I think, probably feel that Colangelo was saying, listen, it was my wife, it wasn't me, and they probably want to give him the benefit of the doubt. But I just don't think it's right for the franchise to keep him. I think they have to move on from him and have a fresh start, because I think this is one of those things that's going to linger around the organization a long time. And the other thing is, if they do decide to keep him, and then we find out there was something else, because these sort of stories often tend to have layers to them, then it's just going to look bad on the franchise. So I think what the Philadelphia is trying to do now is almost hope that it just blows over and people forget about it and move on. But something like this, particularly in the social media world that we live in right now, is not something you can just ignore and move on from. I think you have to have a draw a line in the sand. And unfortunately, I think Brian Colangelo has to take a fall for it. I mean, you never want to endorse somebody losing their job, but the stuff that came out was pretty ordinary.
Yeah. I was actually drinking with Ben, who wrote the story, last night, and it was just remarkable, like getting the backstory and everything like that. It's like legitimately amazing, and it's like one of the biggest stories in the NBA. But speaking about the NBA, covering stuff, the Starters. I mean, as mentioned at the top, you are the international man of mystery for the Starters. You are the Australian voice that so many people hear covering the NBA. You notched the 1,000th episode for the Starters on NBA TV this year, which is like legitimately remarkable. And the amount of shows that you do each week, the daily TV show, the Twitter show Tuesdays, the drop on Friday. As you said, you're in Oakland, the travel. I mean, how do you do all this, Lee? Like, what's the usual day in like the life of a starter? It's ridiculous, mate.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely long during the main part of the season, through basically end of September until, you know, late May, I guess, is the toughest part, when there's just games on every single night. And we do seven shows a week. We do five TV shows, we do the Twitter show, and then we do the drop on Friday. So it's certainly a lot of basketball content we put out there, and we try to keep it fresh and entertaining and informing. But yeah, there are no doubt there are times where you look at the schedule and you look at the games that have been played, and you know, you have to you feel like you've maybe had that conversation a couple of times.
Sure.
But we, you know, again, there's six of us in the group, and we all just try to make sure that we're trying to bring something new to each show and to each episode, and something that people are talking about. And it's not, our show is certainly not a recap show. We don't just look at the games and sort of tell you what happened. We try to find the stories in the games, and we try to find the interesting talking points. And, you know, it's great. It's a lot of work for us, but we're all basketball junkies. So that's what I think helps, is that something that you might think is interesting, the other guys might not think is interesting. But then when they suggest an idea, you know, you sort of talk it out, you hash it out, and you try to find an angle that is something that people will enjoy. So, you know, it's a lot of work, but it's also a lot of fun, because you're just watching basketball, you know. And the other thing is, basketball is so well covered in each city now by bloggers or writers or people who have their own podcasts. And that helps a lot, because it's very difficult to keep on top of 30 teams throughout the season. So often, I mean, I will read someone who's covering, you know, let's say the, you know, Orlando Magic, for example, a team that obviously wasn't all that interesting or successful this season, but you still need to keep up with what they're doing and how, you know, what their likelihood of moving forward is as far as improving and changing, whether it's the coach or the playing staff, whatever. So you try to keep on top of those, but you don't necessarily have to watch many Orlando Magic games throughout the season, because they're just not a team that is on the radar of the NBA a lot throughout the season. So, you know, it's great just how much interest there is in basketball and how much media coverage there is in the NBA. And you just try to find enough of it from, you know, covered from other teams, so that you it sort of keeps you up to date with everything that's going on, because we know that obviously the Cavs and the Warriors, and this year it was teams like the Sixers and the Rockets, they get plenty of national coverage, so they're easy to sort of follow and easy to keep up with. But some of the other teams you just have to dig a little bit deeper for. But there's usually one or two storylines with every team that's interesting, or whether it's a player or a situation there that you follow, and you know, you just try to stay on top of it all.
Yeah, it's like, I don't have to watch Orlando Magic games to still already know that Mario Hezonja is not getting enough minutes, because that's pretty well covered and stuff, right? So, I mean, how close are the four of you and JD and Matt, like with respective families and everything like that? Do you actually get to watch games together often?
Well, we don't watch them all that often together. I mean, a typical workday is for us, we get in around lunchtime when the show is on at 7 o'clock. Eastern during the season. So we get in and we start talking about the show and we start discussing ideas and how we're going to formulate what the important talking points are for the day. But by the time the show airs at 7, it's over by 7:30. We all have to get home and get it back to our families. And, you know, like I have two boys and JD has two boys. And yeah. Trey has two girls and Tass has a little daughter as well. So, you know, for us, it's important to make sure that we don't neglect our families too much. it's very important for me to make sure that I come home and read to my boys before they go to bed and bath them if I can, and spend time with my wife and stuff. And then, you know, by that stage, then you start trying to catch up on what's happening in the league. And like I say, I mean, you can't watch every game. It's just not, it's not smart or feasible yep. to be able to watch every game. So you try to certainly... I've changed the way I watch it too. I think in the first couple of years, I did try to sort of watch every single game and try to watch it as much as possible because you sort of felt you had to be almost an expert on everything. But now it's like I find, rather than trying to watch three or four games at a time, I find I sort of pick one and maybe two and have those on and you're following those. So you have a little bit more of an in-depth look at those games rather than trying to skim across three or four at the time, because when that happens, I often find that you don't watch any of those games.
Yep.
You know, after they're all complete, you're like, I don't really know what happened in this game or this game, but I was trying to watch all of them. So.
Yeah, I can't even remember who won, then, like that sort of stuff.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, and then in the morning afterwards as well. So when my boys are in school and daycare, then I come home and I've got a couple of hours to kill before I have to go into work. So that's when you sort of play catch up as well, and you look back and. And again, you can look at box scores and see if there's a 35-point blowout, you know there's not a lot of point in watching those games. You can't sit there and watch a blowout and be like, well, I need to break down this game. So you try to be selective in watching what you watch and seeing how, you know, to keep up with teams that are relevant or if there's a storyline emerging from a certain team or even a conference. And you try to follow that because, it's important to not get burnt out by trying to watch too much and trying to cover too much. I think the important thing is to focus on a couple of storylines as they evolve throughout the week and throughout the season. And then in addition to that, you complement that by watching the other storylines that may be second or third tier and, keeping your eye on those to make sure you're up to speed with everything as much as you can be.
Yeah. I mean, NBA Australia is daily and we're just trying to get everything into it. It's amazing to sort of go from the regular season into the playoffs where it's kind of just slowing down, but there's still just as many storylines. It's really weird, right?
Oh, that's right. I mean, the storylines in the playoffs, like I say, I mean, we've seen Cavs Warriors now 4 years in a row, but each time it's been fascinating for whatever reason. Obviously the first year it was like, can the Warriors kind of end a myth in the NBA that jump shooting teams can't win championships. Yeah, well, they did that. But then, of course, Kyrie Irving broke his knee in the first game of the finals, so the Cavs were shorthanded. Season two was the incredible comeback by LeBron. We'd never seen that before. Down 3-1, he comes back and the Cavs win their championship. And then last year, I mean, it was like, well, this is Kevin Durant's first year and, you know, how will LeBron handle all that? And obviously the Warriors won pretty easily. And now we're in the situation similar to last year where LeBron is pretty much shorthanded, doesn't have the same depth of team around him. Will he be able to sort of still haul those guys to victory? And it looks unlikely. So there's always something new and exciting to watch. Because we were looking really like we might have had a Rockets-Celtics finals, which would have been two deserving teams, no doubt about it. But I think you want to see LeBron still in the finals while he's still in this incredible form that he's in. And you want to see the Warriors because the Warriors went from everyone's sort of glamour team in the first time they made it to the finals to sort of the villains now since Kevin Durant's joined them. So it's, you've got the big star LeBron going up against the villain of Warriors. And for a guy like LeBron, who has been kind of like LeBron, a lot of people have hated him his whole career. But he's almost now turned into the good guy because people want to see the Warriors go down. It's fascinating how people change. You know, it's like, oh, we love the Warriors. This is a beautiful basketball. Then it's like, oh, hang on a minute. You're too good. We want you to come down a peg or two. And LeBron's our best chance to beat you. So, you know, it's fascinating how the narrative seems to change so easily and so quickly from year to year.
Oh, kia ora, Bruce. This is Stephen Adams, eh, Brew? And you're listening to NBA Australia, eh? Cheer, Brew!
Oh, All right, we're back. Thanks to Lee Ellis for that amazing chat. It was great. You can catch the entire other half of that chat with Lee on tomorrow's show. We're going to cover the starters, his journey from Sunbury in Melbourne to NBA TV, the possibility of the starters calling an NBA game, which would be amazing, the Andrew Bogut signing with the NBL, the big Australia versus US game next year, and loads more. It's a great chat. Thanks again to Lee for joining us on NBA Australia. It was awesome. All right, so let's get stuck into the usual stuff that we do here at NBA Australia, like the NBA Australia approved performance of the night. That's right. That was a knife, Kevin Durant. Holy crap. 43 points, mate. A dagger three from basically the same spot as last year's game three, dagger three. Absolutely unbelievable. This was an incredible game from KD. As we talked about with Lee, it's just almost unfair that with Steph and Clay having rubbish nights, you then just get to have the coward Kevin Durant be like, don't worry, guys, I got this. Which is remarkable. Hilariously, that's the first game the Warriors have won this season when the coward Kevin Durant has scored 40 plus points. So he ends up with 43 points, 13 rebounds, 7 assists. That was a hell of a performance in the Golden State Game 3 win. And you know where that goes? That goes straight to the pool room.
This is going straight to the pool room.
Too bloody right. All right, how about what else from last night? Who was old mate no mates?
Old mate, no mates.
Who's got no mates today? We could easily say J.R. Smith here once more, because even though he had 13 points last night, it was on 14 shots. 14! That's one more than Kevin Love. And one of them was exactly in the same spot as the shot he should have hit in game one. He was in the paint, he got the rebound, flipped it up and in, and you're like, ah, J.R., man. We could have saved everybody a lot of talking and a lot of hassle if you just had have done that in game one. So JR could be old mate, no mates, but it really feels like LeBron weirdly has no mates at the moment, right? Because no one's helping the poor bugger out. I mean, 5 of 14 shooting from JR doesn't help, but damn, poor LeBron is out there by himself dragging these spuds over the line. All right, who was the bitches of the night? George Hill, 5 points on 6 shots. Jeff Green, 3 points on 4 shots. Kyle Korver, 0 of 4. 1 of 10 for the entire finals so far, which is just gross. But the Cavs in general, man, come on, man. Like, you had this. You're up 97-96, 3 minutes to go. You're in the lead. You've basically won 2 games this series, but you've sputtered them away. That is absolutely brutal and some bitches sort of stuff from the Cavs. Unreal. All right, what about spud of the night in particular, though? The actual spud of the night.
Spud of the night.
Come on, spud of the night. It was Steph Curry. He looked like Seth Curry out there last night. 3 of 16 shooting for Steph. That is remarkable. The best bit is he did the exact same thing as Ray Allen did when he set his finals record of made threes back in 2010. So Ray hits 8. Then the next game goes 0 of 8. Steph broke that record, hit 9 in game 2, and then last night started 0 of 9 from 3. That is remarkable. That is so cool, right? Still, Steph, of course, hit one hell important 3 when it mattered. Scored back-to-back baskets. There was a layup and then a 3 to get the lead back for Golden State for, actually, when I mentioned, when they were up, they were down 97-96 with a couple of minutes left. Steph scores those 5 points, and that was basically game. LeBron comes back one way, and then KD hits that dagger. Still, a bit of a spud performance for most of it from Steph Seth Curry. I like it. All right, what about the Bruce McAvaney Memorial Deliciously Special moment of the night?
He's one of the most watchable players in the competition. What a delicious young player he is. It's Cyril Rioli. Delicious.
This is a toss-up between LeBron's self alley-oop that we played at the very start of the episode in the first quarter, which brought down the pub I was in. Holy crap. People like falling off chairs. It was unreal. And KD's dagger three, and then the sort of stoic stone face he did after it while Draymond's like roaring in his ear. That's what finals moments are made of. And it was absolutely delicious, both of them. Awesome. All right, what about better than Lonzo Ball for today?
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think he'll get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros, now I can be average. He's coming for everybody.
Coming for everybody. Who was better than Lonzo Ball last night? Well, in a surprise twist, it was Jordan Bell once more. Game three for Jordan Bell. 10 points and 6 rebounds in only 12 minutes. Meanwhile, Lonzo Ball has, let me add it up. Oh, it's 0 points, 0 assists, and 0 rebounds in the NBA Finals. Yeah, there you go. So officially, 19 total points, 8 total rebounds, 2 total assists, and 1 steal more than Lonzo Ball in the NBA Finals does Jordan Bell have. All right, hey, I'll tell you something. It's time for Mate, LeBron is Nuts. I'll tell you something, LeBron is nuts. That was a lot of nuts. So last night, LeBron puts up his 10th career NBA Finals triple-double, which is insane and completely nuts, by the way. 33 points, 11 assists, 10 rebounds, while playing on a sprained ankle. That is legitimately amazing and completely nuts. All right, we're going to be back in just a second with a whole bunch more fun stuff.
G'day, this is PDX Pete. When I'm not sipping on IPAs or throwing down voodoo donuts, I'm tuning in to NBA Straya. Fuck yeah.
Hi there, this is Joe Ingles, and you're listening to NBA Straya. All right, we're back, and it's time for Yeah Nah, where we quickly go through some NBA storylines, decide whether they're more yeah or more nah. And now with Brian Colangelo done, mutually agreeing to part ways with the Sixers, do you reckon it was mutual? Yeah, nah. Nah, come on. The Sixers dragging this out was ridiculous, but it kind of should have been shit-canned about or like 5 days ago, I guess. Number two, do you reckon that his wife is now turning to her other 8 burner accounts to defend her nice, normal, collared Brian Colangelo, man, who did a very good job considering the circumstances that Sam Hinkie left him in. Yeah, nah, yeah, she's definitely doing that. And Jerry Colangelo, do you reckon he's like trying to find a medium-sized ladder to get up there and kick the crap out of the Sixers owners? You better believe it. Yeah, nah, yeah. All right, that's enough of the Sixers stuff. All right, so number two, is Channing Frye right? Is Draymond yelling like a hobo on bath salts? Yeah, nah, yeah, he is. And we've got plenty of hobos yelling around here, man, I'll tell you that much. But Frye's point of starting the season acting like a pork chop so that when you're in the finals, people can say, it's just Channing being Channing, is very valid. Come on, man. Draymond was out there mad-dogging harder than my dog, Larry, mad-dogging when he comes in after it's been raining or he hears a delivery guy in the hallway outside the apartment. One of these refs has got a dude. I'm just going to say, it's a tech. Come on, you can't run around doing this. It's insane. And then finally, are the Cavs toast? As mentioned with Lee earlier on, yeah, nah, yeah, of course. They're down 3-0. Teams are 0 of 131 all time in the playoffs. So it's not going to happen with this team, dog. I'm just saying. All right, you were ready for the Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Inspiration Board? Because we have one. Let's do it. Patty Mills out there talking up State of Origin. Absolutely loving it. Talking about the idea of the State of Union being absolutely special and Patty Mills retweeting a dude saying, I don't watch League anymore, but Origin is awesome. The emotions on and off the field, the style of play, the history of it, so good. And Patty Mills says, yes, all of this. And you can't argue with the man because he is Patty Mills. Let's play Where in the World is Jonah Bolden? He hasn't played since last Tuesday in the first game of Maccabi Tel Aviv series against Ironi Nezioina. They've since won that series 3-1 and not a peep from Jonah. So hopefully they've just got him on ice coming over. Well, you know, in preparation for coming over to the Sixers this year. How about the look at me unpopular opinion of the day, though?
Now look at me, please. Look at me. Look at me.
Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Yes, it is the unpopular opinion of the day. And look, it's I kind of want LeBron to leave Cleveland now. Day. Oh, it's tough, isn't it? Because they're not going to be able to get like that random Paul George, Kawhi Leonard trade happening here. It just really feels like everyone is tired. Everyone looks a little bit just like weary. It's just kind of done there in Cleveland. And look, I always prefer LeBron to stay there. I think it's neat that he's there where he grew up. He loves Cleveland. It's what he's all about. He won them the title. But now I kind of don't want him to waste away his last couple of years struggling to get past Philly and Boston in the East, right? Like, come on, it feels like a little bit of a waste. So if he goes, I can't really blame him now. And I kind of want him to go. I want him to go and like actually really take it to the Warriors with like another super team if he wants to do that. I think that'd be kind of cool. You know? All right. There you go. That's the unpopular opinion of the day. LeBron, it's okay to leave, man. It's okay. All right. What about Outback Takehouse? It's Thursday here at Outback. That means double flame grilled takes, double Alice Springs chicken, and double blooming onions. And also 2-for-1 oil drum cans of Foster's, only at Outback. And today's flame grilled take is LeBron James passing Michael Jordan with the most 30-point NBA playoff games in history means that LeBron is the GOAT of 30-point playoff games. 110 times, man. That's nuts. That is today's flame grill take, only at Outback. Ah, what a take. Yeah, I guess it's pretty amazing, though. 110 games of 30-plus points in NBA playoffs. LeBron overtaking MJ. Unreal. All right, you know what? I think that is it for today. Unbelievable. Thanks so much to Lee Ellis for the great chat. We've got the second half of that talk on tomorrow's episode, as well as our Game 4 NBA Finals preview. So make sure you smash that. In the meantime, follow us on Twitter at NBA Australia. Like us on Facebook at NBA Australia as well. Instagram, NBAAustralia.com. All the good stuff. There's always stuff going up. We had the Deliversary yesterday, so go check that out. It's a great read. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, wherever else you get your podcasts. Chuck us a nice 5-star rating and review while you're at it, would you? Thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Go check out their new band, House Hats. They are the best band in Australia right now. Their new single, I've Been Broken, has just been played on Triple J, so go out there, get requesting. You know what to do. House Hats, I've Been Broken, absolute pearler of a tune. Thanks to the legends of Green Green Green, Iowa, Fascinator, Dozers, Sex Jedi, and the Ramshackle Army for the tunes you heard throughout the episode. Remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands. Check them all out on Bandcamp and Facey. And that's right, man. Stick around for a brand new The Diary of Stephen Adams. And we'll catch us tomorrow, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying, play the horizon!
Okay, Oroboo. That's Stephen Adams here, eh, bro? Just popping by for my latest diary entry on NBA Australia, eh? So, here it is, bro. Dear diary, that's me, Stephen Adams, bro. But you knew that already, eh? Because you're my diary. So, that's still vacation time for me, bro, down here in Mexico. I went scuba diving, bro, which was magical, eh? I even fought a shark, bro. He only took a bite out of me arm, bro, but I strangled him until he gave up, eh? It was just like a night out on the Terps big home in NZ in Wellington with my cousin Rongo, eh? But this time, the whale shark didn't end up in jail like Rongo did, eh, bro? Oh no, poor Rongo. I've also been doing my cooking classes, bro, learning how to use actual Mexican sugar in my pavlovas, bro. And it's not cocaine this time, bro. That was a mistake I made early on, listening to my friend Alejandro, bro, when he said it was sugar, eh? Turns out it wasn't, bro. So, other than that, bro, I've just been sitting around here in the sun, bro, drinking Coronas from my chili bin and getting my tan on, bro. It's coming along really nicely, eh? I'm more tanned than an Anzac Bicky, eh? So that's about it for my vacation here in Mexico, though. I've got my jandals on, I've got my pavlova recipe updated, and it's delicious, eh? So I'll be home to NZ next week to visit my mum. So I'll write to you from Wellington, bro. It'll be sweet as, bro. Okay, that's it, diary. I'll speak to you next week, eh? Kia ora, chi chi, love, Stephen Adams, bro.